Blog Talk Radio.
Let's flip the track, bring the old school back.
This is how we do it.
Entertainment Life on the Sasha Marina Show, a show about the entertainment and music industry, where you get to hear from the top and up-and-coming stars, from amateurs to professionals. They're all just working hard for success. This show is to give those the opportunity to speak about their talents and what they're doing to succeed in their dreams. And now, here's your host, Sasha Marina.
Hello, hello, everyone. For tuning in today. I'm your host, Sasha Marina, and you're tuned into the Sasha Marina Show. So today I have a comedy filmmaker, indie comedy filmmaker, and with a touch of some dark side humor with him. I mean, he's one unique kind of guy. I've looked over his work in the past 2 weeks since he submitted to be interviewed. He is also part of the Shockfest Film Festival this past weekend in the Raleigh Studios in Los Angeles, California. And I mean, I don't know. I mean, he's done a lot. He's worked a lot with Funny or Die, and he's just one of them top comedians with just like some that kind of weird humor behind it. I mean, it's not for everyone, but hey, what the hell. He did a short film that's called Death by a Thousand Pups. I know that he has it on Vimeo. You guys should totally check it out. It's just it's funny because it kind of touches in with a known, you know, subject, people that go out and what's that called? They walk their pups and stuff like that. I wouldn't know how to really describe it. But yeah, Matt Brookins is pretty cool, pretty cool guy. So without further ado, I'm going to have him on the show. Hey, Matt, how are you?
Hey, really good. How are you?
Good evening, good evening. I'm good, sir. So let's talk more about your comedic and filmmaker skills. How did you manage to put those two together?
Well, I think, you know, obviously I am absolutely hilarious and a fantastic filmmaker. So
okay.
I had to do something about that. No, I guess my brother and I just started making films as kids, and you know, he makes films, I make films. He lives in Chicago, and I live out here in L.A. And I've just always loved it. You know, I love making people laugh and amusing my friends. And, yeah, so it's just kind of been something to keep me occupied. It keeps me busy, and I just love cinematography and making people laugh. So it works together pretty well.
What about your... Because you don't have, I mean, there's all sorts of comedy, you know? But you have a very, you touch another side of comedy, which is, you know, it's somewhat of like a dark comedy. Tell me about that. Why does that dark comedy kind of reel in your attention more than others?
You know, I can't say that I had like a troubled childhood or anything. I just, you know, I want to be like, yes, I was locked in a box for 5 years, and that's why I make dark comedy that really warped.
Yeah.
But I think it's interesting. It's that life or death thing, you know. And then, like, I was always into the creative filmmaking in movies like Train Spotting, and, you know, it's dark, but it's like you see so much, like, awesome, like, visuals and stuff in movies that are more intense. Whereas comedies, you know, like Saturday Night Live or Seinfeld or something, usually you're just looking at a set and it's kind of flat. But I love cinematography and moving the camera around, kind of like the Coen brothers. I've been a big fan of their stuff forever. So I don't know, just something about the dark element. I guess I went through a goth industrial metal phase and a punk rock phase, and I'm just kind of, maybe it's angry. Maybe I'm just pissed off about a lot of stuff.
It's that internal anger that you still haven't tapped into. You know, I there's all sorts of comedians in this world, and I sometimes feel like the more independent comedians tend to be the funniest, because they're just trying so much harder for people to laugh at their jokes, you know? When the most mainstream comedians like Kevin, you know, Kevin Hart has already lost his, I feel like he's lost his charm already. I remember when his first movie, you know, thing, comedy tour, to me that shit was hilarious. When I saw the second one, I feel like he was already burned out. Like, after that, like, he's not even as funny anymore. I feel like he's trying too hard now. So,
totally sold out.
Huh?
He totally sold out.
Yeah, totally. I don't know. I mean, in my opinion. And anyways, how do you as a comedian, how do you manage to still keep that comedy in yourself alive?
Well, it really helps that I am independent, which means I don't have a boss lording over me, telling me, I don't think you should do that one, Matt. That looks a little too risky. So I get to say, hey, that made me laugh. I'm going to do it. And nobody tells me what to do. You know, no lording over me bosses. That really keeps you free. And then another way I work is, like, if I've had an idea for a while and I'm still interested in it, it's kind of stood the test of time, then I'll make it. Because I was thinking about it, I'm like, well, I always have ideas for making a short, and I just, you know, I've made so many that by this time I can kind of crank them out. Oops, sorry, my stereo just kicked on. I can make short films pretty quick, but now I'm kind of like setting them more. Like back in high school and stuff, my brother and I would just shoot them, just like, what do you want to do this weekend? I don't know. Let's make a movie. Like what? How about Axeman goes crazy and kills many people, and it's funny. and now I'm like, well, you know, movie making is a lot more expensive than just grabbing a video camera. Like, if you want it to look good, you have to at least have two lights and maybe a sound guy and maybe like a dog or something. You know, you got to spend some money. So now I'm like, with this puppies movie, I kind of like thought about it for a while. I'm like, yeah, I still want to make this movie. I just want to make it. It's not particularly the funniest. It's really my first foray into more horror, although it's got some cuteness in it. But
the puppy talk for the cuteness.
Yeah, it's like a good balance, I think. So.
Even though I was somewhat confused in the beginning, let's talk about this movie. Let's talk about this short film. What in the world was going by through your mind when you said, "I'm gonna make a movie about puppies"? Was your first idea a movie about puppies? Was your first idea puppies eating a human? Because it's two different things.
Well, here's the thing. Are you a dog owner by any chance?
No, I'm not a pet owner.
Okay. Well, let me tell you, my wife and I got a dog last year, a miniature dachshund, the little wiener dog. She's in the film.
Okay.
And, yeah, like, we're new dog owners, you know. We're taking the dog to the park. We're learning about how to raise a dog. It's a big thing. I mean, you know, you have a new life form that you're taking care of. And have you ever met someone, like, you'll know someday if you ever own a dog. You'll meet people who are like, they think they're Caesar Milan, the dog whisperer, and they're like, you know, well, you should really, you know, raise your dog this way, and you shouldn't let him pull on the leash, and, you know, do this and do that, and don't, you know, and after a while, it's like, dude, just leave me alone. Let me walk my dog, you know, so what? She's pulling on the leash. She's a puppy. But, yeah, I guess that, you know, I met a lot of people that were just, you know, everybody tells you how to raise your dog, and it's kind of like, you know, if you tell someone how to raise their kids, that's kind of rude, you know? It's just kind of like, hey, come on now. So
yeah, I've heard. Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's like there's a line where you're kind of calling me a bad parent. You know, so this is kind of like, the movie is kind of like, it looks at both sides, but it's kind of like a payback for, you know, the dog owner who's been stepped on and made fun of and told how to raise their dog. So yeah, and then I thought, oh, what would be the most horrific, because I wanted to do a horror film. I'm like, well, what's the most horrific thing this person could do? And, well, you know, if you're a snooty dog owner, maybe the ironic way to die is to get eaten by a bunch of puppies. I think, you know, that fits.
That is very ironic. And that you mentioned about people saying how to raise anything, or, you know, people are very interesting. I'm talking in general. I could be talking about myself. It's just some people that think they know about a certain subject so much, and like they said, they'll tell you that dog food that you're feeding your puppy it's going to give them cancer. They just know, you know, they just know that that's the worst dog food to feed. You have to feed them this, the kind of food. I used to have a cat, and they would tell us all sorts of things. Oh no, the cats can't eat cans because cans is bad for them. Oh, you know, in the little balls, they could only have it like once a day. And I'm like, bro, do you want my cat to starve? That's like telling me that my baby could only have one bottle of milk a day. That doesn't make any sense to me, you know. So at the end of the day,
my business. Don't be there judging me. My dog's alive, right?
Yeah, definitely. And did your girlfriend or wife participate in this in the making of the film as well?
She is my wife now. We are married as of this year.
Okay.
And,
okay. Cool.
Yeah. And we have a lot in common. You know, she's a filmmaker too, and she helped a lot with this. Her name is Ashley, and she took my last name, but her name is Ashley Brookins, and formerly Ashley Nichols, and she's really talented and really hot, and I'm so lucky. And she's really good at editing too, and she helped with the camera. She did one of the cameras, and it was a two-camera shoot. And she also did the score, except for the classical music, which we bought from the stock music. But she scored the, like, electronic kind of horror stuff. And I got to tell you, she's really good. I'm lucky.
So shout out to Ashley. I mean, your husband's trying to get some cookie points because he's been working up your name there. So give it to him.
Yeah, if you need an editor, hook her up.
Perfect. So both of you guys are filmmakers. How is that? How is having a filmmaker partner? Somebody that pretty much just, do you guys share the same vision and work, or does she tend to work in other sorts of genres of filmmaking?
Well, it's great, first of all, that you can come home and talk about ADR and, you know, slow-mo and frame rates and that sort of thing, and have your partner, your spouse, know what the hell you're talking about. So if I'm like, man, I wish, you know, I got to convert this from ProRes to, you know, H.264, she'll know what I'm talking about. And it's kind of like a nice thing. You can communicate about that thing. And then I can run my ideas by her, and she can pick the ideas to me. And it's really nice. And, you know, we have different styles and she works in documentary, and she does, but not only documentary. She did animated stuff previously. So she, you know, is a good different point of view. My stuff tends to be a little darker, funnier. Hers is dark too, but I don't know. We're both growing as filmmakers as well. So I think it's cool. You know, I recommend, you know, if you're dating someone, share the interests. If you're a filmmaker, don't date, you know, a chemist. I mean, maybe opposites attract, but I think, you know, birds of a feather flock together, and it's made a lot of sense, and we're having a great time. So that's my advice on Love Line.
Well, that was some nice relationship advice there. So that's nice of you, Matt. Definitely, people should totally, you know, find that thing that makes you guys click. And if it's filmmaking, hey, and the thing with filmmaking is here that any part of the industry, whether it be filmmaking, whether you want to be an artist, whether you want to be an actress or whatever the hell it is, definitely having that one person behind you that supports you, it makes it so much of a better journey, you know. And
I agree.
And I guess she'll share your pain whenever you guys are trying to fund a movie. You know, funding movies has been the subject of the week for these past 2 weeks here on the Sasha Marina Show because, as you know, I've been interviewing a lot of the filmmakers that were part of the Shock Film Fest and, the Shock Fest Film Festival. And they all spoke about the same thing, funding. Funding for your movie, whether it be a short or a feature. It's just funding, and that seems to be such, I guess that's, like the big pressure point for you filmmakers. And for this film, I know it was a short, about a 4-minute short. Did you have any sponsors or anything like that, or was this mostly out of pocket?
Well, here's the thing. This was mostly out of pocket. I'm a filmmaker, and I have Ashley's sister, who's in the film. She plays the serial killer dog owner that feeds the woman to the dogs. She happens to work at a camera rental house. And so that helped. We got a big discount on lights and stuff and cameras. And but mostly, you know, here's what I do. And that's always been a debate. And I'm glad you brought up funding because it's a big thing. And the way, you know, it's a big part of how do I get this vision achieved. And what I've always done is, you know, I used to live in Chicago, and it's like there's not a lot of film industry there. There's some commercials and rap videos, but there's not much else. I always
rap videos.
The rap. I mean, I don't know what it is. I always worked a day job, and I always tried really hard at the day job too. And I've worked in advertising, like I'm a graphic designer. And that has, you know, I can help. It also ties into film with the skills I'm learning and the people skills and, like, poster making and web design and that sort of, and marketing. But that really does tie into filmmaking. So that's kind of kept me, you know, okay with keeping advertising as, like, a day job. And it's given me money to, you know, make my films and not go be a PA on someone else's film and be like, why can't I make my own movies? Oh, yeah, because I'm, you know, a PA and I don't earn any money and I'm helping someone else achieve their vision. No offense to the PAs, but I'm sorry. They do on, like, Bruckheimer films and stuff, but it's given me independence to have that day job. But the dream, as I think most filmmakers have, is how do I make my films, you know, earn their keep or pay me? I want the films in theaters. I want to get out there and show people awesome movies that they're really entertained by, and that should earn me a living. So that's what I've been working on, is like, I think you have to give, you really have to, like, give and, you know, work on that script and make sure it's awesome and take criticism and, like, live on it and, like, make it better and better and better and get feedback until you make something that's, like, undeniably good. And then practice, you know, practice your craft. And, you know, eventually, then which you can do what I'm doing now, is I have a new feature I'm really stoked about, and I've written and rewritten and rewritten and polished, and I'm like, man, it's like tight now, and I'm ready to start pitching it. And I'm like, you know, I'm gearing up for a big budget feature. So that is going to be a different way to fund it. I can't just do that with my day job of advertising, you know. Now it's like, you know, get investor time.
Yeah. The day job won't cut it.
No,
okay.
I'll be broke. You know, I did go broke. I did. I funded a feature, The Art of Pain, is a feature dark comedy. And I was paying that off for like 5 or 6 years. I mean, I was just like, why did I open all those credit cards? Don't do that. Unless you're ready to pay for 5 or 6 years, because the dream of being Kevin Smith, that shit has sailed. That ship has sailed. Sorry, it's also ship, but yes. So, like, you know, oh, I'm just going to make a cool indie, and it's going to go to Sundance, and then, like, the money will come in. I'm not exactly sure how, but, you know, it'll get distributed. I got distributed. It made me, like, $1,500. The movie cost me, like, a lot more than that. And, you know, getting on Netflix, yeah, that's nice. Gets you a good credit and stuff, but doesn't really earn you money. So, I don't know. It's a tough racket right now, but I think maybe there's something coming in the internet, and this is what I dream, is that there's a day when the filmmaker gets the money from sales of their movie, just direct. Why is there all this middleman? I guess there's infrastructure, but, you know, if I host the movie on my website, it should be able to go to other people, and I should be able to earn money on it. So I've been kind of looking into figuring out how to do that, but I don't know. Maybe I think probably I'll just go to studios and be like, hey, I've got a great movie we can work together on, kind of thing.
Stories of a filmmaker. It's a depressive side of the story of the filmmaker, you know, because you see the happy side when the filmmaker's at the awards and getting nominated and this and that, but the real sad story is behind it when you guys are just so depressed inside and paying off credit cards for 5 years. That's totally depressing.
I know. It's a sign of, you know, dedication to your art.
It is.
Maybe a little...
Yeah.
You know, maybe I'm a little bit of a dumbass, just enough to make me keep going in there and paying for these things. But, you know, we're artists. We don't care about money, right?
You know, can you give us some insight on this feature? I know you don't have to disclose anything, because I know it's better to keep those things still, you know, inside your bubble. But what is your idea behind this feature?
Oh, the new one? It's kind of a secret, but I can, you know, I can give you a little kind of pitchy synopsis. It's called Unicorns Incorporated. It's a comedy.
Okay. I'm hoping.
Yeah.
I couldn't take a movie serious if it was called Unicorns Incorporated.
No, it's really serious. It's a hard hitting drama.
For real.
Yeah, so it's a comedy, and it's this unicorn obsessed sugar junkie, and she hits the big time selling her kitschy, cheesy pop art. And then, you know, the power and the fame go to her head, and she turns into, you know, an evil, manipulative, power-hungry asshole. And so that's Unicorns Incorporated.
All right, it's very interesting, and I'm looking forward to seeing it on Netflix, you know. Netflix has some new movies. Yeah, totally.
Cool.
Matt, tell me more about your experience with Funny or Die. You know, I know this is like, it's like a very big thing, but I'm not sure how, is Funny or Die just a website? Is it a web show? Is it a TV show? What is Funny or Die?
Well, Funny or Die is Adam McKay and Will Ferrell's baby. They put together this website where anyone can put up a film, and it gets voted funny or like that. And I've had good fortune enough to put up, three or four films on there. And they're all, you know, they're all still firmly in the funny category. You know, it has been voted. So, you know, that's proof that I am, in fact, funny. But, yeah, it's a site. I, if you have a film, you can submit it, and it gets – you put it up there, and then you can open it for voting. And, yeah, it's a good way to – it's like a YouTube, you know. You can share it with people. And then a couple of mine got on their top, you know, top 10 for, like, 5 minutes or something. When you put them up there, if you promote them right, they rise to the top, and then everybody's watching them. And yeah, it's a great way to, you know, further promote your work.
Okay, I kind of get that now, because I was actually in LA this past summer, and I met a couple of people that were, they say they were doing something for Funny or Die. So now I'm guessing that what they were doing is probably being part of a production or a funny film or something, you know, to be put up on Funny or Die. So that makes sense. That makes totally sense.
Yeah, they've got two categories. They make their own films, and then they have, like, filmmakers submit their own. And Funny or Die Presents was, like, the HBO show. So they've got, like, three types of Funny or Die films.
Okay.
And I think the show shows them all, the stuff they make and the stuff users submit, and then, you know, it's on HBO or something. Is it HBO? I'm not exactly sure. It might be IFC. Shit. Don't quote me on that.
That's fine. I mean, it's live anyway, so I'm not doing the quote.
Oh, right.
how was your experience at the Shock Fest this past weekend?
It was okay. I'm just going to come out and say this because it happened. Our movie didn't play because there was a technical malfunction and we were running late.
Am I not surprised? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
We were sitting there in the audience like, I think it's going to be playing soon. And this is, you know, I gave him a Blu-ray, and it's nobody's fault. I should have brought an extra, and I don't, you know, Gil was really cool about it. But I think, you know, Gil has said, and now I'm putting him on the spot, but he said, you know, oh, dude, I'm so sorry. Let me make it up to you. You know, next fest, you're the first selection. And so we promoted our film, and we walked around. We were all dressed up, and then it didn't screen. And then we're like, oh. But there are worse things than, you know, having Gil say, hey, let me make it up to you. So Shock Fest was a blast, though. We all had fun. There were a lot of fun films, a lot of horror, like just blood and babes and, like, ghouls everywhere. It was horror fans are the best. I highly recommend going to a horror film festival and just camping out and watching the films and just laughing and getting scared. And it's just a blast. And, I mean, Gil drove up in this giant hearse, and there's, like, zombies walking around everywhere. I don't know. It's a hoot. So, you know, Halloween all year, I'd say.
Okay. All righty. So, I mean, other than that, I mean, you enjoyed your time. I totally, the reason why I said it, how am I not surprised? Because in this business, you just, it's just some things, there's always a technical malfunction somehow, somewhere. Did you see, I don't know if you saw the Golden Globes or whatever, and the red carpet, how the freaking red carpet flooded. Can you imagine that? Imagine people swimming through there? That's ridiculous. How does something like that happen? I don't know. The technical difficulties happen all the time.
Yes, they do. And my dad said something. He came up. I'm from Springfield, Illinois, and my brother and I were premiering a film in Chicago. And my dad drove up, and I think he summed that up pretty well. He's like, everything put on by artists or musicians is always late, and it's always got problems. And I'm like, oh, Dad, no. Oh, you're kind of right. Shit. Damn.
Yeah, it is totally right. It's totally right. Even in
the middle
of a production.
But, you know, we artists are like freeform men. You can't tie us down with a schedule, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I think for the most part, it's a huge feat. I mean, Shockfest was a huge feat when I look at it and all the work and all the planning that went into that. And they don't have funding, you know, really. They have some sponsors, but it's mostly like, I mean, people are working for free and staying up all night and drinking coffee to get it done. And it's all done on, like, goodwill. So, you know, yeah, there might be a technical difficulty here and there. Next time I'll bring a bunch of DVDs, and I did bring a thumb drive, but it's just going to happen. And, you know, back in the day, I used to get bent out of shape about stuff, but, you know, what's the big deal? It'll screen again. I still got to, you know, get my picture taken with my lovely wife on the red carpet at Shockfest, and it was a blast. And I hope they go on for many years and get those technical difficulties ironed out.
Oh, Gil. We're putting him on the spot, but hey, that's just the way it is. I'm looking forward to see one of your comedic pieces other than Death by a Thousand Pups. I mean, I hope that you keep at it. You know, I wish you and your wife, you know, luck and everything you need to make it in this business, you know, especially in comedy. You know, I feel like there needs to be more comedy in this world.
Thank you. Yeah,
so,
I think so too.
You're welcome. People, I know you have a YouTube, you have a Vimeo, you have a Facebook. Do you want to mention so people can look you up and pretty much just keep up with your comedic vibes?
All I can say is Google me because you'll find everything. Fortunately, there are not too many Matt Brookenses in the world, so just Google Matt Brookens and then maybe filmmaker and, you know, all that stuff comes right up. So there aren't, you know, there aren't many other people with my name, fortunately. As I'm saying this, people are naming their kid Matt Brookens, I think. But if you Google me, you'll find all that.
Oh, he's a cool kid. You know, he just said Google me. I mean, anybody else would have said that, yeah, sure, look up my website. But he just said Google me, so just Google him. Apparently, he's just that known. So, Matt, thank you so much. Thank you so much for your time tonight. I know it's 8 o'clock over there, but it's 11 over here in Miami. And, you know, no problem.
Thank you for staying up, you know. I know you got parties to go to, so.
I got parties to go to. Oh, no. Actually, how's the weather over there? You know, I know there's been some fires going on, and over here in Miami for us is real freezing right now because, you know, 40s is just beyond cold and beyond belief for us. So how's it over there in LA?
40s right now? It's like 75 here right now.
That is totally weird. We just had some like bipolar ass weather. Like yesterday it was like rainy, and my boyfriend takes me all the way to the beach to see this supposedly full moon, and all we saw was clouds and rain. And then we're like, wow, out of all days, you know, we try to be cute and it doesn't work. So today today the skies were all clear and freaking freezing, and I didn't get to see him, so who cares? But yeah, Miami is just the day of. I mean, well, it's the city of bipolar weather. If you ever make it down here, you'll know what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah. I've been, actually my wife's from, well, she's lived in Miami area for a long time. And
okay,
I went there.
She knows what I'm talking about.
I love it. It's hot, you know, it's humid. At least you don't have forest fires, but it's 40 seems unreal to me.
No, it totally is. It really is. So, Matt, thank you so much for your time. Once again, I wish you continued luck and success for you and your wife, and keep it going in this industry.
Well, thank you so much, and thanks for having me, and I love your show.
Thank you. You have a great night. Cool. Bye-bye, guys.
All right, you too. Take care.
So make sure you check out Matt Brookens pretty much everywhere. Like you said, when you do Google him, his Wikipedia and his IMDb and all of this and that, yada, yada, things come out. So you can search up his work and his bio and his existing, or, I mean, his past directorial works and so forth. So thank you so much, guys, for tuning in today, and bye-bye.